This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. You know, we spend a whole lot of time on this program talking about the macroeconomic big picture. But on this week, before Election Day, with inflation at 40-year highs and yet another Fed meeting starting tomorrow, we're going to do something a little bit different. We went to Buffalo about 10 days ago so that we could tell you the story of this economy in this very peculiar time from one place, one city, one street, actually. We started at Cafe Aroma, just a couple of miles north of downtown Buffalo, on the corner of Bidwell Parkway and Elmwood Avenue.
I do have the medium latte for you.
Oh, sorry.
You're all good.
Good. Thank you very much.
Cafe Aroma opened in 1995. I've been here for almost 30 years.
Romola Massero runs the place. It's one of two cafes that she owns in town.
I work 7 days a week, days, nights, weekends. I love what I do.
And it's a good meeting spot.
Hey! Sorry, that was really loud. Sorry. How are you?
I'm good.
It's so good to see you. Oh, my God.
That's Neela Richardson. You'll know her, of course, from our weekly wrap on Fridays.
This is awesome.
Here in person.
Here we are. I know, right? How many times have we talked online?
She's the chief economist at ADP, the payroll processing company, which means she's got access to tons, seriously, tons of data about jobs and wages and workers in this economy. And almost a year ago, almost to the week, actually, when it became clear that inflation might not turn out to be so transitory after all, we started talking to Neela about where we could go to tell the story of this economic moment. Because as I believe I've said a time or ten, the data we get doesn't always match up with how people feel. And that's how we wound up here at a coffee shop on Elmwood Avenue in Buffalo, New York.
It's a small market with a growth story. And for me, that means there's a hope story here. Buffalo is one of those places where you just don't make a lot. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Yeah. It's one of the metros we looked at, the top cities in the U.S. Buffalo had the second lowest monthly pay for those making at the 5 percentile of the wage distribution.
So the bottom part of the wage distribution.
The bottom part. Yeah. That's right. It's about $1,000 a month after taxes, after rent, after child care. Wow. Doesn't leave you with a lot.
And even when cost of living is not high, as it is here in Buffalo, that exactly. is not a lot of money.
Not a lot. Well, something happened over the last 2 years. That very low wage accelerated by 40%. 40%. 40. You have to say it three times.
Yeah.
40%.
Good for you.
And now wages in Buffalo, believe it or not, are $100 more than they are in New York City for the bottom, the lowest paid workers. $100
really?
More because of that growth.
So fold that into the larger inflation story for me. Right? Because inflation now at the consumer level, the headline number, 8.whatever it is%, are people seeing that at the bottom? And are they able to outpace inflation with those wage gains?
It's such a difficult question when you're talking about someone making...
Is that the right question?
It's not the right question.
Well, then, okay.
It's not the right question because I say, hey, wages grew by 40%. And you say, hey, inflation's only 8.2%.
Right.
And we say, hey, wow, low-wage workers are really making out
right.
in this economy. But when you start from a low, low level,
right.
40% does outpace inflation, but it's still a hard way to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is... hope here in the sense that low-wage workers are doing better than inflation, and that's not true everywhere in the country. It's not true in California, for example.
Yeah. We were talking before we turned the microphones on about you had said you grew up in a town like this. Tell me about the place you grew up.
I grew up in Richmond, Indiana, which is part of the Rust Belt. So this is a place where there was a lot of manufacturing up through the 70s, 80s, even a little bit into the 90s. It's a place where you didn't have to have a college degree to have a good life.
Right, right.
Those places have disappeared from the planet for the most part. There's not many jobs that you can graduate high school, take that job, work it 30 years, and put your kids through college.
Right. Right.
Buy a house, take care of your parents.
But
there's
that
not many jobs like
that. That used to be the American story 30, 40 years ago.
It used to be.
Not anymore. So let's get back to where we started before we go out for a walk. Hope.
Yeah.
What are the signs you think that hope would be taking hold in a place like Buffalo?
The bills.
All right, I'm a Giants fan, so that's a whole different thing.
I mean, it's a place where people are playing to win. That's
good for you. That's very good. That's very good. And the Bills are doing well.
And the Bills are doing well, but you're starting to see it. I mean, it's going to take a lot.
You got to play the long game.
And the long game involves things that are somewhat out of your control. For Buffalo, it's about immigration. It's about investment. And it's about innovation. I did the three I's right there.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do in this economy post-pandemic.
So that's going to be our show today. A street-level view of this economy from one city, one street in America.
So, you know, it's funny. On this stretch of Elmwood, there's not a whole lot of vacant buildings, right? I mean, there's fashion shops and t-shirt shops, and there's a laundromat.
Yeah, it's actually pretty active.
Yeah, it's really active.
Elmwood Avenue's got a pretty high concentration of independent businesses. Erie County, in which Buffalo sits, had a 34% jump in entrepreneurship last year compared to 23% nationally. And so a couple of blocks south of Cafe Aroma, back where Nilo and I met up, we stepped into a restaurant called Taste of Soul.
Hey, can y'all step outside so we can have like 2-3 minutes to get ourselves together?
Sure, absolutely.
It's a very small space.
No problem.
Small space is an understatement. There were 6, maybe 8 people, customers and delivery drivers, packed into what was probably like 300 square feet of restaurant space. It's owned by Khalila Reese.
Everybody calls me Miss Country.
She's had a restaurant here in this spot for less than a year.
Well, I was cooking out the house, and we was selling on Facebook, and I don't know. They just kept trying me, so I took all that money and brought a food trailer.
Eventually, that food trailer became this tiny but very busy restaurant.
Yeah, and then you legit. I mean, that's how it goes.
But now look at this. Now you got a storefront, and you got a Clover machine handling your money, and
yeah.
I mean, you're a business now.
Yeah.
How many people you got working here?
I have 5 people working for me. Yeah, they go my daughter and she late. No, but,
we're not going to call her out though. So
no,
that's all right.
But you have
so you got
to,
5 people.
I have 5 people on the payroll, and they all have families. They have to work in order to pay their bills.
Right.
And even my daughter, she has to work, and she's looking for a roommate right now just to help her out so that she can make it through. It's hard because, like, she makes $16 an hour.
Yeah.
Okay? Before the pandemic, it was probably, like, less than that.
Yeah.
But in order to get somebody decent to come in and work with you and for you, you have to pay them. Right here, right now, I have a lot of people that want jobs, but they're saying they want, like, $19 to $22 an hour.
I can't
afford that, especially being a small mom and pop. You know, I got a son in college. Good gracious.
So how do you get by? I mean, margins with restaurants are really thin anyway.
Well, I don't even know how I'm getting by. I'm just doing me. I'm old school shopping for my food with the butcher. I'm not going through the commercial Cisco or
the food providers.
Yeah. Them. My rent in this building is $2,000 a month.
And that's a lot.
It is. That's nothing. That's
really?
That's $500 a week, man.
You don't think that's a lot?
No,
this is not a big space.
Man, let me tell you something. I'm on Elmwood.
Miss Country, you're both old school. Yeah, the old school flyers, but you started on social media.
Yeah.
How did that, I mean, that's new, right?
Growing okay, your- so... Kids have friends, okay? And you let the kids them come over to the house for a safe place to stay, okay? So my son's friend was boiling the chicken. They was boiling the chicken. They flipped my stomach, and I had to show them how to make the wing dip. So I just started trying to show them or show the community how to do it. They showed me how to sell on social media.
Yeah, you go. There are people coming in the door. You got to go do your thing.
I apologize.
All right, no worries. We're just going to stand here.
She had a new person starting work that week and a big line of people waiting, so she ducked back behind the counter to help clear out some orders.
I'm telling you, I think this is easy. It's really
no, I think it's really hard. Can I come back there for one sec?
Yeah.
Can I ask you, like, 2 more things?
Yeah, go ahead.
While you're doing this?
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to know is, what would make your life better? What would make your business be better?
Oh, my goodness. What would make my business better? A few more employees... And to own this building.
Could you hire more? Do you have the business to hire more people now if you wanted to?
Yes. My delivery drivers wouldn't have to wait so long if I had more help.
You got a flow problem, right? Because this person's been standing here for like our whole time.
Yeah, and like she has two orders. She been
customer waiting 26 minutes and 51, yep. 52, 53 seconds.
Yup.
So you need more people to help you do more business.
Yeah. Yes.
But you can't afford to pay.
Order 30.
Right? People come in here and want $20 an hour, and you're going to give them 16?
Yeah, and they don't want to go for that. They'll work for like 2 weeks. And then it's like I always have help at the end of the month because people want to pay their bills. And then like after they get that check or that second check, that's it for them.
Last thing, and then we'll get out of your hair. Actually, two things. I say inflation. What do you say?
True.
That's the best answer I've had all week.
Yeah, everything has been inflated on rent, utility bills, employees, food.
How much do you worry about the people who are actually running this economy? People like Jay Powell, who runs the Federal Reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
The politicians who are in charge of managing this economy. What do you think of them?
I want to know how much money they have. I want to know what they do every day. I want to go and be their shadow. Yeah, see how they live. How do you drive? Do you walk to work or do you drive to work? How are your kids? Are your kids in programs? How do you make it? Because I don't think they live in the average life. They're living their life, true indeed, but they're not living the average American's life.
We got to go. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Oh, God, am I going to be in trouble for that? Y'all the witness. I ain't say nothing bad about nobody, right?
She's everything. She's the person. She's the buyer. She's the shop owner. And now she has to be her own worker.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We are spending the program today on one street in one American city, Buffalo, New York, to talk about the economic moment in which we find ourselves. Elmwood Avenue runs north to south down a pretty densely populated section of town.
And there's a little bit of a vibe to it.
There is a little bit of a vibe. You got to give it to Elmwood Village.
Bustling, but you can still find parking.
Well, yeah, but people are lined up to pay at the parking kiosk, which tells right. you something. I'm with Neela Richardson, yeah. One of our Friday regulars, of course, also the chief economist at ADP, which means data loads and loads of data about the wage and labor market guts of this economy.
Craft stores here.
It's Buffalo Fleece and Outerwear. I should go there. Did I mention it was cold and wet? Anyway, our next stop.
Thank you.
Oh, it smells like a bike shop. Hey, I'm Kai. How are you?
Hey, Ethan.
Good to see you.
You too.
This is Campus Wheelworks. There's exposed insulation inside, floor tiles pulled up, because this shop is expanding into the storefront next door. But on a rainy and chilly Tuesday in late October?
It's empty, man. How come there? Why is there no business?
Well, it's fall in Buffalo, and the Bills are killing it. So
the Bills are killing it.
Unfortunately, we have to compete against that.
Oh, man. Ethan Johnson's one of the co-owners. He's got 21 people on staff, and he's been working in bike shops since he was a teenager, this one since 2002. Ethan helped steer it through the COVID bike boom of 2020, the supply chain issues that followed, and now inflation.
One of our bikes we sell the most of, which is a giant Escape. Mm-hmm. It's like a general purpose hybrid that we sell all day, you know.
Yeah.
In 2021, it went for $460.
Yeah.
And today, exactly a year later, it's $605.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah. 30% increase.
Wow.
So that's not by my hand. That's by the manufacturer's hand.
Right.
And as we're talking about how we want to evolve and recover from the kind of situation we're in now, we want to drive more of our business into the service part of our shop rather than the sales side.
Interesting.
So to do that, one of our plans is to have more mechanics for next year and going forward so we can turn on quicker repairs.
I noticed you had a kids section up here. Do kids still ride bikes? like they did. I used to have a Pink Panther bike I rode all the time.
Yeah.
Did it have like a banana seat and a sissy bar and all
it
that?
Did, yes, it yeah. Do you see like the future of biking and the kids coming?
Yeah, I see it. We sell lots of kids' bikes, I think. But I think they have a lot more competition than when we were kids, where it was like, well, what do you want? A bike or a pony, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I never got a pony. But now it's, you know, now you have to compete with all the digital stuff.
Let's walk around for a minute. I want you to sell me a bike. I want a one by, right? Mountain bike.
Yep.
Do you guys ship bikes, by the way?
Sure.
All right, just check.
On your dime, I'll do whatever you want. Yes.
So I'm a recreational rider, but I like to get up in the hills and the trails and the mountains behind my house.
So we've got this guy.
Yeah.
It's actually on sale. Just about $1,000 price point mountain bike.
Yeah. A little discount, though.
Yeah, right? A little discount.
$200 discount?
Yep. So
do you have to discount stuff to get people in the door?
Yeah, this time of year we do.
Yeah.
Most of we were waiting for a long time to get mountain bikes in, and that's kind of the story of this whole inventory glut, is we were waiting for mountain bikes, we're waiting for road bikes, we're still waiting on things.
It's got to make you crazy.
It's very, you take a business that was already challenging.
Yeah.
You're already competing against Amazon. You're already competing against the weather. You're competing against distractions like the Buffalo Bills' impeccable season.
Why? Why are you in this business?
I think I'm drawn to things that are difficult.
With a bike tattoo on his arm, by the way.
Yeah, that's one of like three too. I think there's something where I think if it was too easy, I would have lost interest a long time ago. I'm a cyclist. Most cyclists like things that are challenging. A cyclist of my style looks for the hills. We look for the more difficult trails. So I've basically done that with my job.
It's a good line.
I mean, I've tried to figure out how I got here too. So.
Well, that's fair. I think about that every day.
You know, I just wanted to fix Huffies and like, you know, get sweet bike parts at a discount. Yeah. And here I am, you know, making these tough decisions. Yeah. But how we doing? Welcome.
All right, we'll get out of your way.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Neela and I walked out of that bike shop smack into a pouring rainstorm.
I am not down with this weather.
This is how memories are made.
So we ran to our next stop.
Oh my God. Hi, I'm Kai.
Hi, Johanna.
Nice to see you, Johanna.
Nice
how
to
are
see
you?
You. Good.
I'm bunking my head on the plants.
This is Put a Plant on It, and words cannot fully describe the scene we walked into. There are plants on every surface, truly everywhere, and a humidifier pumping steam out into the air. Also,
hi, puppy.
That's my puppy. Like
what's your puppy's name?
Woozle.
Woozle.
Yep.
Johanna Dominguez opened this store about 2.5 years ago. She had been eyeing the location, which used to be a yogurt shop, for a while. And finally, in the spring of 2020, the landlord gave her a call.
He said, hey, it's available. Look, I'm like, of course it's available. Yeah. You know, the world's ending. But I took that as a sign that maybe I should do something crazy and open up a business in the middle of the pandemic.
I have never seen this many plants in one place in my life.
This is actually a little bit low for us. We often have a lot more.
How did you come to want to open a plant store in Buffalo?
I was doing social media work before and photography, and I was behind my computer all the time, and I was super not in touch with anyone being behind the screen. So I decided to take a part-time job at another nursery, and then my friend who owns a store next door suggested, like, why don't you just go ahead and do it yourself? And I said, yeah, why don't I? And I think Buffalo is a community. It's one of the few communities that you can actually do that in.
How many people do you have working here?
Currently, I have 4 besides myself.
Is that enough? Do you need more?
I would say I definitely need more, but I need things to pick up a bit more if I were going to hire more people.
Say more about that. Because you said business was all right a minute ago.
It is good, but there's a lot of services that we would like to expand on or offer more. And we're already spread about as thin as we can be doing it a lot because unlike other stores' inventory, we have to keep things alive here.
Yeah, I hear that. That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
Whereas other stores' inventory is not a living, breathing thing. I would love to be able to offer more private classes. We've been sort of expanding on the experience and stuff like that.
So this, you're the second person I've talked to today who's got a retail business but wants to expand into services.
Yeah.
Is that where the money is, you think?
I think it's a lot of it is about the experience right now. And I listen to a lot about the incoming market mm-hmm. crash and all that stuff like that and things. And at the end of the day, plants are a luxury item. A lot of people, I think, are more willing to spend more money on an experience. And that's one thing we also work hard here to give people as an experience. Like, you walk in and you're immediately hit with all this plants in these jungles.
Yes,
and then you have the humidifier.
Yes, you are.
And then we have our birds and we have the puppy.
Wait, you have birds too?
So, yeah.
Wait, show me the birds.
Yeah, they're back here.
Oh, yeah, there are birds.
Oh, you must be in timeout because you probably went after someone. Can you come here? Yeah.
Out and in the open, birds.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So a lot of
There's a lot going on in this store.
And it's like you don't get this experience anywhere else.
How much do you worry about inflation day to day?
Not too much. And I think with plants, any of these plants, I can divide and make up more plants from them or propagate and make more plants of. So if you could buy an investment of a coach purse, you can't make a new coach purse. But for example, this plant right here,
which is a
Monstera Esqueleto.
Because I think we have that in our
house. And this one I can cut up 4 or 5 times, offer it for cheaper once I grow it out. And then that I can make more money by offering a smaller plant.
Brilliant. Also, that little bird is nibbling on my ear, which is a very weird sensation. It's all good. It's all good.
Let me know if she gets a little.
No, it's fine. So is this what you were talking about when you were talking about hope?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that you said that Buffalo is a place where you can pursue your passion mm-hmm. and turn it into a business, why wouldn't you want to move to Buffalo?
Yeah. Right? I mean, if you look at Elmwood Strip, which this is, it's mostly independent business. There's no chains. It has so much support of small businesses, and it's a good, busy spot.
Like Joanna said, Elmwood Avenue is, it's different. So tomorrow, we're going to bring you stories from other parts of Buffalo.